session, and we have five items on the agenda. The first is to hear an update and discuss the development at the southwest corner of University Drive and Mesa Drive. Good morning, Mr. Jabginiak. Are you kicking this off for us?
I am.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. How are you?
Just great, thank you.
Great. We're here to talk about the first step in a long but necessary road to creating a quality mixed-use development on this site. Let me start by introducing some people here. To my right, Bill Brantley, who is the architect for the project. Next is David Greff of Athena Corp out of New York, so he made the trip across country for us this morning. I also want to introduce Steve Buchwald and Scott Sockerman of Athena, who is here as well. And of course, you know Shelley from our staff. This morning, we're seeking your concurrence to work with Athena as we as they investigate the site and really do their background work that's necessary, do the due diligence. I do want to mention that this is still subject to a market study. It is still subject to their due diligence that's necessary. The goal, again, I think, well, let me back up one more step. There's a point of clarification that I need to make. In the staff report, there is a mention of, I think, 120 days. In reality, it's 75 business days, with they have an option for an additional 25 business days. And I think that's an important piece so that they can do their due diligence, but at the same time, they can understand our vision for the site and for the entire city. So that's a point of clarification. It should be the adjustment should be made to the report as well. Shelley's going to review the background, and then Athena is going to get into some of their experience and their vision for the site. So with that in mind, I'm going to simply turn it right over to Shelley and go from there. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you. Just to provide you with a little bit of background, I know everybody's fairly familiar, I believe, except for probably Councilmember Truitt, but I'll give you a little bit of a background because I know you weren't here through a lot of this. In March of 2007, we received council direction to solicit a broker to help us market this property to a master developer based on the following considerations: acquisition price, a mixed-use type development, including residential, retail, and office uses, and also to ensure compatibility with the downtown Mesa Community College campus. Just to let you know, we continue our discussions with Mesa Community College and Mesa Public Schools to ensure that there is a compatibility with the downtown campus and to incorporate educational venues into the site. As part of this process, we, as we said, we selected a real estate broker to help us develop this or market this property, and they are here this morning. Shannon Selby and Charlotte Christian are with Phoenix Commercial Advisors, and they developed a marketing and outreach strategy. I think the details are in that report, so I won't go into those. But from that, we received four letters of interest. And with these four letters of interest back in September of 2007, we came to council to ask direction on soliciting best and final offers from these four interested developers. And the interested developers were CDK Partners out of they're here in Phoenix, Crosswinds National, Concord Eastridge, Durant, and the Athena Group. With that, we received three best and final offers, Crosswinds National, Concord Eastridge, Durant, and the Athena Group. CDK Partners determined that based on the deterioration of the national financial market that they pulled out their offer. Part of this process, we developed a team of stakeholders that included City of Mesa staff, Mesa Public School staff, and Mesa Community College staff, and with that, and the brokerage firm that we hired to market the property. And with that, we evaluated all of the three proposals that came in, the best and finals. And the stakeholders group recommendation was the Athena Group. And with that, I'll turn it over to David.
Hi, thank you. Just a reminder, I'm David Graff. I'm a Senior Vice President of Acquisitions with the Athena Group. I thought I'd just give you a little background about our company. We were founded in 1993, and we are a private real estate development company. We are active developers in the sense that we manage and fully participate in all the projects that we do. We're not investors. So I make that distinction sometimes because a lot of people in the real estate business just invest. We're active developers, so we don't just make investments financially. We're always actively involved. We focus almost exclusively on residential and mixed use, but occasionally we get into office and other activities, but pretty much we're residential and mixed use. We have a number of projects around the country. This first slide gives you an indication of four or five of them that I'll discuss very briefly in a minute or two. But I just want to tell you a couple of things about you know, our business and how we view ourselves. We have you know, a very deep management experience. You know, our four or five leading principals have all been in the business 15 or 20 years and have experience in all aspects of real estate, including finance, marketing, new construction and development, leasing activity, conversion activity. So we really have a very diverse and deep management team that's had a lot of experience in virtually all aspects of residential and commercial mixed-use real estate development, all of which I think can be applied to this project for the benefit of, you know, Mesa and the actual project itself. In addition, I think it's important to point out, especially in this particular market, that we've been doing this a long time, and we have what I would call a conservative philosophy. In other words, a lot of developers over the last 6 or 7 years, when things were very strong and prices were going up every week, were doing heavily leveraged transactions, doing a lot of mezzanine financing, and putting very small amounts of equity in their projects. And as a result, today they're in big trouble. That's not our case. We put at least 20 to 30% of equity in all of our projects, which gives us a cushion when times aren't good, and has allowed us to weather this storm. Now, we have a couple of bad projects like everybody else that are taking longer than we would have hoped, but we're not in a position where we're facing any difficulties because of this philosophy that we apply ourselves to. And, you know, actually we pay a little price when things are going really well, but when things turn and do not as well, then we, you know, we're much better positioned to ride it out. And the last thing I'd say is that the other thing that makes us somewhat unique is that we have a proprietary investment fund. A lot of developers seek financing on a project-by-project basis, but we have a fund, three funds actually, first that we raised through Wall Street, and that allows us to have proprietary capital available at all times, so we make our own investments. But we also seek partners with large institutional investors, and depending on a case-by-case basis, with when we move into a new area like Mesa, with local developers and partners. So that's a basic overview of kind of how we view our business. I'll just take you very quickly through a few of these projects, give you an idea of what we've done. The next slide, I think, is not coming. Oh, there it is. This gives you an idea geographically of where we are. We kind of focus on the Northeast area, New York and Washington, D.C. We also have a focus in Florida, but we've recently withdrawn from Florida and now are looking to get back in because of some of the market activity down there, and then on the West Coast. So to give you an idea of the specific projects, for example, the next one is 5th and Craig in north of Las Vegas. We have a very large mixed-use development there with over 1 million square feet of retail, kind of a lifestyle center, and 700 residential units. We're in the planning phases of that right now and tend to kind of start construction sometime before the end of this year. That's another picture of North Las Vegas, kind of conceptual plan. And then we have a mixed-use project in Jersey City. You notice on the upper left, that's a very well-known architect design. That concept, his name is Rem Koolhaas. And there we're doing a hotel site and residential and also some commercial and retail on the ground floors. That slide is just giving you a sense of the location where it is in terms of New York City and public transportation. The next one is the Rob Clark in Los Angeles. That's a conversion that we did of an existing building. It's 105 units, a very good location in West LA. We're almost sold out of that. You know, we've got a few units left, so we're concluding that project sometime in the next couple of months. That's another picture of the Rob Clark. Gives you an idea of interior design we do for model units and the entranceways and kind of the quality of what we try to do when we do a conversion. Central Park North is a project we're very proud of. It's on the edge of Central Park North in Harlem on 110th Street and overlooks the entire park. This is a 47-unit kind of high-end luxury project, which we've just completed. and people are moving in now as we speak. Our penthouse, a very large penthouse, got Esquire Bachelor Pad of the Year, and we've enjoyed all the parties surrounding that over the last 3 or 4 months. And you can go to the website and see that. By the way, you can always go to our athena-ny.com is our website, and you can see a lot of these pictures, some backgrounds on our principals, and specific information on each of our projects. Just moving along here quickly, that's our project in Central Park North as well. It gives you a different elevation of the building. And then that's a picture of one of the penthouses that I was just talking about. In a lot of our buildings, you know, we create models and we hire very well-known interior designers to come in and make the project as attractive as possible to buyers. Then we have another project in New Jersey, which is 250 units. It's called the A Condominiums, also a project just being finished now. People will be moving in the next 2 or 3 months. That's more of a mid-level price range, just outside of New York for people that find Manhattan a little bit prohibitively expensive in this market now. Another picture of the A, again, a picture of our model unit and things of that nature. This in Providence, Rhode Island, is a picture of a conversion. It's 350 units basically in Providence, Rhode Island, an existing building where we do some upgrades and we sell them as condominiums. And while we're waiting to sell them, we often rent and, you know, move the product along as fast as we can. So I think that that's pretty much, I mean, I can go through these other projects. Park Reston was another conversion that we completed last year when the market was great. Now we've waited a little bit as things turn around. And then 2 slides later, we're going to build these 2 additional towers on that same site. Sometime in the next 12 to 18 months, we'll probably start. Again, depending upon market conditions, we've received all our approvals to move forward. But we're just trying to determine the timing. And then the last one here is Kerrybrook Apartments in North Carolina. That's a rental building that we bought. We're upgrading it, fixing up all the units, and then we're going to decide what, at that point, our disposition strategy. It may be to convert to condominiums. It may be to just sell to another apartment investor. So I think that's generally an overview of where we are with Athena. And I'd like to turn over to Bill Brantley. He'll give you our vision for this particular project and where we think we should go from there.
Thank you. So my name is William Brantley. I'm Principal of Arts Architects. We're a studio style design firm, and the A is arts, stands for art. AR is architecture, thought, and then studio. And the sense is that we're a boutique firm with a lot of depth in many facets of design. So we work with very progressive development groups like Athena, who have a broad range of what they're trying to do and trying to get to a goal that usually involves community. We're very, very oriented towards involving community. The brief projects on our slider are in Tokyo, Seattle, Los Angeles are 3 of our major markets. In fact, in Tokyo, we've built over 1,000 units of housing designed and helped develop. And there, the neighborhoods are as aggressive at getting what they want as any neighborhood you can come about. So it's been a great experience for us. We also have depth in working with universities. We have one of my partners that does only university work, colleges and education systems. And we had a nice conversation with the local community college about a month and a half ago, and they happened to be on the same track we were on a number of years ago when we developed a program for a small community college in Los Angeles. The P20 program they're starting to develop is something we were pushing, not so formally, it's now been written down, but we were young kids with ideas, and I said, hey, I've heard this before when they started talking about it. So Our goal in working with Athena and the city of Mesa is to create a design community. And that's how we begin to approach things. This design community will involve the city, staff, business leaders, neighbors if necessary, whomever you will help us gather a group. And we have a what we call a design dump. We get out of our heads what we're trying to achieve, what you think you should see. We have to get out of our heads what we think you should see. And then we put it on a table and we sort it out. And we'll do this once or twice together. And out of that, we create the program. And the program is what we will then develop a rough site plan from that Athena can begin to put numbers to and create the financial feasibility of it. It all boils down to, in the end, whatever we build or whatever we create together, and it must be supported over a long period of time, not be something that's built and abandoned. We don't like seeing that happen, and we've never had it happen, but it happens to other people. The working in the design community, we really involve the city and its vision. One of the things in reading the program that you guys put out for the RFP, we were very impressed, and what we saw was the connection. I happen to love this little downtown Main Street area you have and this little vacant site sitting up here, and I just see a way to this melts together. And then the successful mixed-use projects, you know, everybody must support everybody. You can no longer be an island. And so our goal, as we explained it, is not to create an island, but to create a community that will mix with the remainder of the city. So the shops down here and the shops up here and the university or the college and the residences all have reason to intermingle and mix constantly. So as we do the market studies and develop them, and as we talk to the city and the community leaders, it all will eventually come down to a focus. And that focus will develop into what architects like, site plans. and then we'll sit and discuss that one more time. But that will give the basis for really determining how we get there. But I think Athena and myself, when we looked at the program, the opportunity for inside Mesa was really spectacular. We really think it's just a nice, nice community. And I really... my office is in Santa Monica, was in Santa Monica. We walk everywhere. We have, the Third Street Promenade, but I helped create that 18 years ago, create the program that developed a street that you could shoot a cannon down on Christmas and never hit a soul, to some place you can't walk down anymore because now it's too crowded. but it's become a viable mixed-use community. And this has a smaller size, but that kind of opportunity. And the last part of this is mixing this with the college campus is just a brilliant stroke. The college campus and its support to the community itself, I could spend an hour and a half telling you the things that could be happening that are so positive to the overall community. Because when the kids come out, they'll have real life experience of having worked in an ice cream shop across the street. You know, and if there's an active adult community, we'll have gone to the college for classes in the evening. They only had to walk over there. So all these things can begin to happen. So that's basically our vision. That's basically how we'd like to get there. And it will take some time. Shelley, I mentioned yesterday, there are man hours involved, and 2,000 or 3,000 man hours is a lot. So but we hope to really make this successful for the city.
And with that, excuse me, what we're looking for today is to seek council direction to proceed negotiating with the preferred developer, and then also to come, we pointed out initially that staff report needed to be changed from 120 days to 75 to 100, depending on the option to expand business days, to bring back a contract, contract of sale and any additional documentation that's necessary to the council within the next 75 to 100 business days. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Let me start. What do you anticipate being in the contract of sale? A price, a schematic concept plan, to what type of detail comes back to us in 120 days? And maybe we went over this when we went out, but refresh my memory on what the next step would be on this.
What I envision, and certainly I don't have some of the history here, but we would expect to come back with a full contract of sale with a price identified, any other conditions of sale, you know, subject to us cleaning up environmental if there is anything, that type of issue. We would expect to have a full elevation and site plan detailing what the proposal would look like, There would probably be various chances, I think, along the way to take input into that site plan, so it's not a document at the end that nobody's going to agree with. I think we're going to have an opportunity to really hear what the neighborhood and the community has to say along the way. So I would expect it to be a full contract of sale. Gentlemen, you want to add to that, David?
Yeah, no, I think that's accurate. Yeah, clearly there'd be a price. I mean, let me just give you some context on what we call the due diligence period. Basically, we need to do two or three things. We need to do a market study, first and foremost. And, you know, we've had a lot of opportunity working with many of you and colleagues to get to know the area and to get your vision of what the city thinks would be appropriate for this site, and to work with that information and develop an initial concept. But until we have, you know, very clear indications of, frankly, what the demand is for residential and the commercial and the retail aspects of the project, how we would integrate with the college, what would be, quote, the price point, what would we be charging the end users for any product that we developed here, we can't be very clear about what the highest and best use and the mixed use for the site would be. So we need to go through that process in a formal way over the next several months. Once we do the market study and get that information, we put it together, we work with Bill, we put our initial site plan together, we go through iterations and drafts, we communicate with you to the extent that it's appropriate, and then we come up with what we believe is a plan that we can work with, a vision that we think we can work with that makes financial sense for us and then works in terms of what the city's goals are. And we need that amount of time in order to do that. So pretty much once we get to contract, you know, we're fairly far along on the process in terms of where we're going to end up. It doesn't mean there can't be any changes or iterations, and I'm sure there will be. There always are. But you should have a very clear vision about exactly where we go, what the time frame would be, what the number of units would be, the mix between residential, commercial, and things of that nature.
And the relationship with MCC or campus, how do you anticipate blending that into part of the site? I know a while back, I think there was some money in the last large bond construction program for MCC, but I think it was only like $10 million or something, so it's not a substantial amount of money. I don't know what their program is. I see Bernie back there in the audience too, so sure, you've been talking to MCC, but is that a component that you carve out a section, or how do you bring that in to the project?
That hasn't been decided yet. We had a very good conversation with MCC, and they shared with us their excitement about their P20 program, which I touched on briefly. How the college gets financed is an issue that we don't have a lot of control over. But Athena, in our discussions, we would sort of go the extra mile, at least in trying to work towards the programming of the campus. There is a corner off to one side that we think is set aside for that campus area, and that could be extracted from the sale or be part of the sale. There was a very brief conversation of, well, maybe we build the campus and rent it back, but I don't know if that's financially feasible or not. So I think that has to be explored. We, as someone planning a community, would like to see the campus there and see all the benefits I think it can give the total community and the rest of the city. So I anticipate some time spent with them, and then we'll have to see how the finances shake themselves out.
Mayor, let me just give everybody an update. I met with Rufus Glasper and the new president of MCC, Sean Penn, about this. And Bernie was also there. What we've discussed is the possibility that we're going to outline the and identify the areas as mentioned here where MCC's development would take place. But we also want to make sure that the timing of that development doesn't necessarily affect what might happen in the remainder of the property as far as it's moving forward. However, we do see it's important that an overall kind of master plan design take place, and that MCC would then have to fit into that design overall and how it works together. So the idea is that we would continue forward as if they were moving along at the same path, the same time. If it doesn't work that way, we want to make sure there's an ability to kind of disconnect and allow the remaining portion to move forward, so it's not necessarily dependent upon the overall, as you were suggesting, the financing of the MCC component, if it's there or not there, won't deter the timing of the rest of the development taking place.
My last question has to do with additional property in the area. I know the city owns the parking lot there at Center and University. We have a discussion coming up on the Escobedo Apartments that are across the street. I think there's a just north of your property is a older shopping center that may need some renovation at some point in time. How does additional supply in that area and your ability to have some type of say in making sure it's compatible or of the same quality, how is that being coordinated, or does it need to be to make your project successful?
You can always say it doesn't, isn't absolutely necessary, but we think it's prudent that we do, if Athena is successful in developing and creating a master plan, have input to at least assist in these additional projects, because it's the whole we got to look at, and the more we can make the whole, the better the whole city is going to benefit from it. So we, you know, as we develop this master plan and it gets really down to the nubs, we would like to have some influence and discussion, and once we create one of these little workshops we call a design community thing, it'll become very easy to just exchange information, and when that's being exchanged, ideas flow and creativity flows, and you'll see, we all may see, oh, you know, this should be something else over there, and the city can take that direction, or we can help them if necessary.
Okay, and I would also add, just parenthetically, I say this with the best intentions, but I just want to make it clear to everybody that the purpose of a due diligence period is to evaluate the feasibility in all its elements. So there is some scenario where we come to the conclusion that it's not feasible to do this project, at least along the lines that we envisioned it. So, I mean, we don't consider that a likely outcome, but I just want to make very clear that, you know, given the general housing market and the economic environment, it's not a foregone conclusion that there will be a viable project at the end of this, but that's certainly our intent. We wouldn't invest the time and resources if we didn't think that was the case.
Thanks. Other questions? Tom?
Couple of, Bill, I guess my first question is, how did you get to this table? Were you brought by Athena, or were you brought
by Athena.
Okay.
Athena.
They've chosen you as their architect.
That's correct.
Okay. Looking at the slides, I guess I'm a little confused. The direction we gave the staff was to find a master developer using the following considerations, and we got three best and finals. One of those considerations is price. We don't know what the price is. Mixed-use development, I'm assuming everybody said, sure, we can do a mixed-use development. This is nothing against Athena, by the way, at all. And then compatibility with downtown campus. Which one of the other two said, we don't want to be compatible with MCC, we're not going to pay you any money, and we're not going to do a mixed-use development?
Actually, all three of them had all the criteria. What we had established, and if we obviously the price discussion, we can possibly schedule an executive session. We can discuss that. But when we developed the team of stakeholders, we all took a look at all of the criteria that was submitted and the different concepts and everything that came along with that. Obviously, you know, price was one of those.
But nobody knows what the price is.
Well, and like I said, we could talk about this in executive session, but there was a potential price that was offered. And
so there's a range of prices that's
right.
Already been identified.
Right.
Okay, but they also have to do the market study and the feasibility study to really know what they can sell the product for, which is going to affect what they're willing to pay for the property, I would assume.
Yes.
I guess I'm being asked to follow a recommendation, and I'm being given a nice presentation on one of those, but I have no information on the other two. How do I subjectively and objectively choose one over the other when I'm being provided with no information about the other two? It just doesn't seem to be a very comfortable process for me. I just give you a carte blanche.
Certainly we have the other information from the other two developers that have submitted. The direction we took it was to make a recommendation and present the preferred developer to you for...
And I appreciate that, Bill, but when we get contracts, you know, we get backup material that show the bids of the other entities. We have materials with which to evaluate the recommendation. I have no backup material with which to evaluate the recommendation. And again, people from Athena and ARTS Architects here, it's nothing against you. You guys may be heads and shoulders above the rest, but I have no basis for making that decision. Absolutely none. Staff report doesn't tell me anything, and today doesn't tell me anything. So that's my concern. But you know, I'd be happy to. I'm
Councilman
confused.
Wright, you know, certainly we have backup material that we can put together and provide to everyone. But again, we focused on what we thought was the preferred and selected developer for your concurrence and your direction that we would like to go with.
Bill, I appreciate that, but it's difficult for me to give concurrence in a vacuum.
Okay. Understood.
Let me follow up on that comment. I think I concur with the sentiments expressed because one of the criteria, and we were very close to a split vote on this, was put up a for sale sign and whoever pays the highest dollar, do what the market allows and go ahead and build on. So I think without knowing the other criteria, it would be very hard to make a judgment today that this is the most qualified. So,
Mayor and Council, we can assure you, and we can share the number, this proposal, not only superior in experience, not only superior in the submittal of the design, actual providing the effort to put together the actual design, this was superior, but they also superior in the dollar amount. We'd be glad to follow up and give you those breakdowns, and we can do that. So we can provide those dollar amounts to you. One of the things that we want to suggest, though, is that we think there's a significant amount of negotiation that still needs to take place on a variety of issues. On a variety of issues, do we hold, do we just take this as a face value dollar amount on a real estate deal of land, and we just turn it over to the developer and say, go do what you want with it, and we will step aside? Or do we, as a council may suggest, to say, no, we want to put, you know, do we want to impose qualitative and development standards and require it to come up within a certain time frame, which obviously puts more risk on the developer, and then is there kind of a give and take? So we can talk about that, but and we can certainly outline for you on the dollar amount, this is a superior deal. We felt certainly, if you look at the three other developments that were in front of you, the Crosswinds National proposal was very much lacking. We can give you their actual proposal. The Concord Eastries Durant proposal, I think for us, it was mostly the financial issue, was very inferior to what you have before you today. But we can give you a matrix that shows those differences if you'd like.
Tom? And if I can follow up, Chris. Number one, I already lost the vote on just doing the for sale sign. So we're already down there. I'm not trying to go back and revisit what's already been lost. I don't do that. But I would like to, you know, and I believe you. When you tell me that the deals are different and there's better and better experience, et cetera, but I'd like to have that empirical evidence. And we don't even have to have an additional meeting about it. You could send us a confidential memorandum because the one thing I want to make sure happens, quite frankly, haven't been able to accomplish very much in my 4 years here, but I'd really like to have this contract signed before June 2nd of 2008. I'd like to be able to say that, you know, it's taken me 4 years to sell this property, but at least I finally got it sold. You know, it's taken the mayor 12 or 18 or however long he's been here. But so I'd like to have that happen. I don't want to slow the process down, but I would like to have the matrix. I'd like to have some substantive evaluation upon which I can say, yes, I concur. All I'm asking for is empirical evidence upon which I can concur. I suspect I'll concur. It's just like you guys don't expect there to be a feasibility study that says don't touch the project. I don't expect to find empirical data that says don't go with Athena, but you have to do your due diligence. I have to do mine.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.
I think that the mistake that we made this morning is not scheduling an executive session so that we could convey this information, because I believe that our staff has done their due diligence, but Tom is correct. We have to do ours. So I also would like to get this property sold. Has it really been 20 years, Mayor? Is it 30? No. I really, this has been, and actually, Daryl's going to claim credit. He's going to say he came on the council and got it sold. So one of the reasons that we have taken a little bit of time here is because of that connection to Mesa Community College that we wanted to ensure that we had. It's important, I think, and you outlined, Bill, how exciting it can be to have that connection and how vibrant it can make it. And so I think we need to make sure that that continues forward. Chris, I like the notion of being able to disconnect the two. One of the conversations we had before, and I want to make sure, I know I don't have 100% agreement on this on the council, but I had a couple of things that were deed restriction things that I wanted to make sure with Athena, that this isn't a problem to you. Looking at your developments, I can't imagine that it is, but I want to have deed restrictions that do not allow for pawn shop uses, payday loan stores, and those kinds of uses on this property. So I'm looking at you to let me know.
No problem at all.
All right. And other than that, I'm fine with our getting the data, looking at it. I assume that we have the ability, because of its being a real estate transaction, Ms. Spinner, that we can do this confidentially. Do we need to call the executive session, or is there a way to transmit that data to us without that?
We can transmit it through a memo, Vice Mayor. I'm not exactly sure what information is contained in there, so I'll talk to Shelley. Is it going to be on a confidential memo, or is it not? But if it deserves confidentiality, we will provide it to you in a confidential manner.
Well, generally, we have provided confidentiality on price aspects of things. Thank you.
Well, on the issue of confidentiality and public trust, I think some of that we ought to seriously consider what we should put as public. I mean, it's fair enough for them we shouldn't do this in secret. Let them know that it was a good deal and this is absolutely the right user. With regard to the Vice Mayor's comments on the deed restrictions, all you needed was four, and I think I was one of those four. Because I think why Tom lost that vote for putting the for sale sign up is we're talking about there's a certain demographic that exists now. There's a certain, for better or worse, or fair or not, there's a certain vision people have for what's in downtown Mesa right now, and that tends to be dollar stores. My wife's going to be angry that I said that one. Dollar stores, check cashing stores, and all the other items that the Vice Mayor makes, and what we're trying to do with this piece, because this is owned by the public and we are stewards of this piece, it's fair to the public to make sure that we try to get a bigger, better use of it. I think down the road, if we produce that bigger, better use, what we end up with is more sales tax dollars, more people ending up downtown. You won't be able to fire off a cannonball down Mesa anymore and hit absolutely nothing. And that generates more revenue, more interest, and more dollars for public safety and other events. So I'm really looking for a quality product. This is a difficult question to ask, what I'm going to ask you, because you haven't done the study yet. That's part of the next 100 business days or 75 business days. But what demographic right now do you see yourself trying to reach out for the residential and even the business component, that type of thing? What do you tentatively envision? You must have some idea of what you envision for the type of crowd you're trying to bring down to this site.
In a sort of bubble diagram that we put together for ourselves, when we say mixed use, it needs to be mixed, and we can see an active adult area, meaning we do this in the Pacific Northwest, where people over 55, which I left a long time ago, are still active now. People don't retire at 65 anymore now. You want to be doing something. So I can see some active adult areas. We can see some affordable, meaning affordable to the working class person, apartment systems. And we can also see some residential spaces, because it's a big site. There's a chance to really mix it up and make it nice. So the ability to get some residential spaces of a higher quality level. We also have done a lot in what we call the loft system, and we've done I won't even go how many of those we've got, but now we have a more popular thing is the modified loft, or they call it the soft loft. But it's nicer inside. It's not quite as raw, but younger couples are liking to go into a space that is, okay, that's a nice countertop, and it's a wood floor instead of a concrete floor, but it's really just open. Just an open space, a sleeping space to the side or on one level up, and a nice bathroom, not a bathroom with a concrete floor. So it's the open concept. And that brings a brighter, more articulate buyer and marketplace. And as a byproduct of our product, this is, I don't quite know how this happens, but we like to think it's design. We have found out of hundreds of units, the majority of people that buy into our product are slightly better educated, slightly are somewhere connected or involved or a piece of the art community, or the educational community. In Los Angeles, we get the writers, directors of the next step down from the Beverly Hills guys buying into our units because of the space and the quality level. So we're going to go after a good quality of lifestyle.
I think you're heading in the right direction on that, and we want to create a place that's going to bring some interest, going to bring people downtown, not only to live, we're looking for that live workspace, but also an entertainment factor. We want to draw folks downtown. We have an art center down here that the public has invested in, and we need restaurant spaces. This might be the right place for it. But something you had mentioned, and there are two quotes from one from each of you, and I don't remember, I can't attribute which one to whom, but one of you said that there's a connection to be made, and that connection was Main Street. Somebody else said that this cannot be an island unto itself.
Right.
That connection to Main Street is important, but I think you also have to, when you're considering your demographics and you're looking at this project over the next 75 business days, you need to look beyond Main Street, beyond the 1 mile, 5 mile, and consider what's happening outside of those borders. You have a light rail line that's coming into Mesa. There's going to be a big decision about bringing that into downtown. One of the possibilities would bring that line a block south of you, at most probably two blocks south of you. How does that change the demographic? Because now you've got a direct connection from this project to downtown Tempe, to Mill Avenue, to ASU, not too far south of Scottsdale, all the way in downtown Phoenix. One of your projects, Class A condominiums in New Jersey City, New Jersey, you said that New York City had been prohibitively expensive, and this was a project that appeals to some of those urban professionals, either the empty nesters in their second career or some of the young yuppies, if you will, who are up and coming. Well, here's a project in Jersey City that is affordable to those folks who make good money and are educated, and they live in Jersey City. They commute to New York City. Here's possibly that opportunity to connect an affordable and nice and hopefully soon to be vibrant area, which is downtown Mesa, soon to be vibrant area, thanks to you, in downtown Mesa, which will connect them to the prohibitively expensive areas of million-dollar condos on Mill Avenue in Tempe. So I think it's very important what you look at when you're in considering the future demographic and how the connectivity of this city to other areas and other regions in making your decision on what to shoot for. Is that long-winded enough? I surrender the floor.
Yes, it was my opportunity yesterday to visit with our representatives from Athena, and we had a nice conversation. And part of that conversation had to do with the desire to have quality and yet affordable. And they have experience in that, as you just alluded to, but we have a lot to look forward to, and no, downtown does not have the dollar stores. We have a lot in Mesa, but not downtown, thank goodness. But we're looking for a lot more improvement, and you will be your project can be a catalyst in that. We had that discussion too, the catalyst for a lot of good things that will be coming down. So it's exciting to me, and we've gone through the long history of this property and finally reached a point where we came to a conclusion to quit playing other games and just let's get it sold and developed and have a good positive result. And so for me, it's an exciting time to move forward. And as Tom mentioned, yeah, we can get the details of the other agreements, but I know that staff has all that and that this is the best choice to make, and I'm looking forward to moving forward. So if we have a bump and everybody needs to see the comparison, so be it. But I'm excited to move forward, and thank you for being here.
Just a few questions. One is, I don't want to break Tom's bubble, but I don't see this thing being sold before June 2nd. I see 75 to 100 business days, which is 4 to 5 months, in a due diligence phase and presenting a contract. Let's say you've got some sort of conditional direction or conditional approval conditioned upon this private confidential memo that everybody's going to look at. When does this 75 to 100 business days start? Probably doesn't start today.
Actually, that's what we had talked about, that it does start once we get the direction to proceed. And I did kind of figure out the day, so we had an idea of what our 75 business days were. And 75 business days would be April 24th, and then the next one is May 29th, is the 100 days. So,
and that gets you to present a contract of sale. There are steps beyond that. I guarantee you there are steps beyond that before you sell this property. I just didn't want to break anybody's bubble here.
Ruined my whole day.
I know. Let me get the big picture out of this thing. Okay, so now we're talking about a sale, and I don't know if that sale is May 29th or August 15th or September or whatever. Tell me about what you think a normal program would be then to... you've done your due diligence, you've got a concept plan. There's a public process after that before you ever get this property really entitled and site plans approved and all that sort of stuff, and you go into design, yada, yada, yada. What do you see that schedule being in terms of an outcome? I guess that's what I'm getting at, is what's the outcome?
If I could answer that, we have already started the entitlement process as far as part of that property. Years ago, we had two council use permits that were placed on that property, there were restrictions that were placed on the zoning, conditional zoning of that property. We have started that process in our office of removing those. The types of uses that we're looking for on that site, it is zoned properly already. However, as you're well aware, it will still have to go through design review, and that design review will be conducted by our Downtown Development Committee. Realistically, I mean, if the property was sold by June 2nd, then we probably have a three-month process of design review. It could be a little bit shorter, but probably realistically a three-month process.
Let me ask a really silly question. What department are you in, Shelley?
I'm sorry, I'm with the Town Center Development Office and the Downtown Development Committee. We staff that committee.
Okay. I'm sorry for that question, but having done literally hundreds of these projects, or maybe more, in my day, I would never tell a client that they're going to be done with this process 3 months after the close of sale. I'm going to guess it'll take them a year to go through design development, the processes, and some sort of approvals before they ever turn a blade of dirt. What I'm trying to do is just give people perspective of what I see as the outcome. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to hear from the developers, I guess, you know, what do you see is a reasonable time once you have a contract to sell to likely tweak the zoning, have design review board approvals, CD developments, CD reviews and approvals, assuming the economy permitted you to go forward and just kind of a sequential step of events, what do you see? That's not a real fair question.
Well, I mean, I guess, frankly, part of the answer to that question for us is the due diligence process, because we're new to this area. and we haven't done a development in Mesa. And so we haven't spent, you know, the time and effort to have gone through this process and to understand it fully. Part of what we do in due diligence is we find local counsel to advise us, people that do have experience in this type of thing. We potentially, even for part of the project, partner possibly with a local developer for part of it who also has experience doing this type of thing. Those are the answers to the questions that we get during that period, because as you know, from a development point of view, timing, or more candidly, the amount of time it takes to do a project is extremely important in terms of its viability. Now, we assume also candidly that there's some predisposition you know, for favorability of the project, because it's coming from you guys and you've put out some guidelines and we intend to generally follow those and work together, so we'll hopefully come up with something that everybody is comfortable with. But that's a very, very good point that you make. And you know, if in fact it is you know, an extended period of time as opposed to, you know, maybe expectations for a shorter period of time, that will impact the viability, no question about it.
I don't think it's a matter of the city committing to prompt review times and things like that. I just think it's a complex project that takes time to develop and refine. So
yes, and it's also, there's a possibility it could be phased as well.
Yeah.
Because of again, because of market conditions.
I'm going to try to help you a little bit. Yeah, just the sheer labor to produce construction documents all the way through to the end is almost a year's worth of work. For something of this size.
I guess that's the point I was trying to make, and the point I was trying to get across to the group and maybe to the general public is I'll be well impressed if we have a sale of this project before Mr. Rawls and I go off the council. And I'd be really impressed if I saw dirt flying out there in a year and a half to 2 years after that time period. I'd be thrilled if that was the case. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to make the point that it does make a difference that this is in the downtown area and it goes to the Downtown Development Committee, because the process there is one board, and they serve as your design review, they serve as your planning and zoning, and they can, you can run those things simultaneously, and so the track for running it through there is different. And I was going to make the point that that you made, David. It's David, right?
Yes.
I was going to make the point that you made, which is that you are coming here working on a project that we have sort of already pre-outlined the things that we would like to see. I don't know if you had the opportunity, probably Kyle told you, but you know, one of the things that a lot of us talked about was feel free to think a little higher. You know, right. You don't have to think in terms of one story and two story. And obviously we want you to be sensitive to the neighborhood to the south. We are, that's a nice little historic neighborhood, and from the things that you said, I thought you're going to be sensitive to that neighborhood. I, listening to the architect, I wasn't worried about it, but I'm going to get it out there on the table in case people from that neighborhood are listening. But all of those things, I think, play into its being more favorable in terms of the timing instead of less favorable. We have people who work with projects and help hold your hand through those, and one of them is sitting right next to you. I mean, on the downtown projects, Shelley and Patrick really help shepherd those through. I had someone who came to me and said that they would never do another infill project outside of the town center because it was so much easier to go through the town center process as opposed to the process of this board, that board, board of adjustments, you know, all of the different things that they had to go through. So I just wanted you to be aware of that situation, that it is a little bit different because of the location that you have.
And I would just add that in terms of, so to speak, going higher or higher quality, or it depends how you're looking at it, you know, we can certainly do that. I mean, we're very happy. We have a lot of experience in extremely high-end development, and if the market, you know, conditions suggest that that's viable, then if that's what you want, I'm sure that would be fine with us.
Yeah.
Go for it. Love to see it.
a way we can conclude this?
Yeah, I'm hoping to. But first of all, I'm the one who started to rain on the parade a little bit, so let me try to put an umbrella up as well. I'm very enthusiastic about the concepts and the things that you're doing here, whether it gets sold by May 29th or July 2nd. I don't really care. It's the idea of continuing to move the ball forward. I want David in particular to walk away from here this morning with the knowledge that this council, and I suspect the new council, is very interested in proceeding with this project and proceeding with it in an expeditious way. So don't view my need to do my own due diligence as any kind of negative comment upon you, upon the project, upon our interest in the project, upon our desire for a quality project, for anything else. It's we have legal and moral responsibilities as well, and I'm sure you understand that. So I want to tell you that I think this is I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled to see progress being made on it. So as I was listening to the comments of my colleagues and myself, I could see you starting to think to yourself, David, what have I gotten myself into? I don't want you to walk away with that. Number one, you can be assured that I'm gone on June 2nd, so you won't have to worry with me.
I may go with you. So
that's what I don't want to have happen. That's what I don't want to have. Anything that I said or anybody else said for you to walk away here with that. It's not the intent. It seems to me that and I did the calculations in my head. I didn't do them quite as specifically as Shelley did. But I have no problem with saying conditionally, this is fine and subject to the next meeting, which I guess is probably the study session on January 22nd before the our regular meeting, because we don't have one next Thursday. We could do a little brief study session on the council night. But I don't have any problem with giving preliminary approval subject to post it for a reconfirmation or something, and then if there's a problem, I don't expect to see one. So that we don't let the day slip. I'm comfortable with that today, because I don't know that you guys would spend a heck of a lot of money or a heck of a lot of time in the next 12 days.
No, I wouldn't worry about that.
Right. But again, we'd like the clock to start.
That's what I'm hearing. Start the clock, and then we might stop.
I was wondering if there was another way of doing it, and I was thinking along the same lines. I was watching that body language going on there and a little concerned. I want you to know this is very exciting, and the things that you've brought and the projects that you've been involved in are very good. But I'm wondering if there's another way of doing it, and you're going to have to tell me, Debbie, if it's legal for us to do it. If we can pass this conditionally, let us know that, give us those documents, and we will notify Mr. Brady. Any one of us has the ability to notify Mr. Brady that we want a meeting called for reconsideration of this, rather than saying, we'll confirm it on the 12th. We can talk about it then, that nobody asked for a new meeting. But would that be a feasible thing to do?
Yes, you can do that, because under the code, you have 2 weeks for a motion for reconsideration. So it now's the 10th. We're back on the 22nd. That would give sufficient time.
Different in form, but that's fine.
Okay.
Accomplishes the same thing. I do have a question for Debbie, though. I don't know how far we can go, because it doesn't say provide direction on here on the agenda.
Oh, it doesn't.
It says here an update and discuss.
I think based on the comments, the staff has direction to go forward. But if we need a formal vote, and I guess I'll ask Shelley, I'm not sure what the RFP says. If we need formal vote of the council, we can post it for formal direction at the next time.
I don't think we do.
We don't necessarily need a formal. We just needed to receive direction.
I think you've got that subject to somebody yelling stop between now and a little while. But I don't think that's going to happen, sir.
Yeah, I think with the nature of the conversation, I think the direction is we want to proceed forward. I think we're informing staff that we want to see a little bit more background information on the evaluation process to see if anything jumps off the page that would indicate something differently. Otherwise, I think the direction is to proceed forward. Is that concurrence? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you for your time.
Let me echo the same sentiment that the parcel has been sitting there for a while. The city acquired it at a period of time where we were trying to clean up and make the downtown area into something that was very presentable, and I think that this is the time to move forward with it. And we're, as a council, are glad to get it off the public roll and into private hands, and let's just make it into something that the city will be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number two is hear an update and discuss Escobedo Apartments.
Well, we had that conflict and it screwed the whole thing up. I should have kept the one there and had a second. You guys raked over.
Good morning. I'm Carolyn Olson. I'm the Director of Housing and Revitalization. With me today is Ray Villa, our Neighborhood Services Director, and also Tina Villa Gomez, Housing Services Coordinator. And we're here today to give you an update on the Escobedo Housing Apartments. On our first slide, it talks about before statistics. As of June 2007, there were 101 rentable units on the project. 96 were occupied and 5 were unoccupied. We did have 197 residents in those 96 units at the time. We were directed by council to begin the process to vacate the units. And I'm going to give you a summary of that transitional process that we utilized. We assisted in identifying the potential units for some of the residents. We worked together with our community partners in an effort to assist tenants to find new prospective homes. We did document historic relevance with the Historic Preservation Office. We're in the process of reassigning staff to other city locations. And we are relocating Housing Services Division to another location. In June of 07, as a little bit of history, council did give the directive to go ahead and begin our process. We did transition tenants to other residents. That was one of our directives. And we were allocated a moving allowance for each household. 1 to 3 bedroom units were allowed $1,600, and 4 bedroom units were allowed $2,250. In August of 2007, Escobedo residents who were not currently on the Housing Choice Voucher program waiting list, if they were not on the program already or were not on the waiting list, they did make application for a voucher. Housing Choice Vouchers began to be dispersed in September of 07, and all eligible tenants did receive their vouchers by December 1st of this year. There were 17 residents that were ineligible to receive a voucher. So with the transition of the assistants, we did go ahead and we scheduled appointments with some of the residents to help them locate a unit. We did assist the handicapped individuals when they requested it to locate units. We did help by calling movers when we were requested that of our tenants. And we did assist by getting utilities turned on with City of Mesa Utilities if that helped to make the move go smoother for residents. Now our results to date, and actually, we do have 93 tenants who have successfully moved. It says 91 and 93, but it is 93. 93 tenants have successfully moved as of this date. 3 tenants remain, and they will be moving out on or before January 31st. Of the $167,100 that was estimated for moving allowances, to date, for the 72 residents that we have assisted with moving allowances, we have invoiced $134,308. and the three tenants that are remaining, their amounts are included within that amount. So our next steps in the process, we're going to complete the reassignment of staff to other positions within the city. One has already been reassigned, and two are in the process of being reassigned. We will continue to document the historic preservation with the Historic Preservation Office, any historic information, and the libraries have currently been working on that and have a lot of historic data on that. The relocation of the Housing Choice Voucher Office will take place this year, and we are continuing to evaluate any property sales options for the property. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to try to answer those questions.
Once all of the parcels are vacant, will they be demolished? Is the intent to level the property and
we could ask Doug, is here from real estate.
Yeah, Mayor, Council, Chris? That's something we're, I guess, still contemplating, whether that's our, whether the city should front that cost to do that now, or do we wait and make that part of a, you know, the cost of someone purchasing the property. So I think part of it is looking at it even from a nuisance perspective of being able to keep it boarded up and safe over there. So far the staff has done, and first of all, let me just say this. If you all recall when we started this conversation, there was a lot of anguish and concern about how this would be handled, both from some external forces as well as some of the residents. And one, I appreciate the council. I think even at some of the committee levels, we appreciate the kind of openness that we'd really try to deal with that. And I appreciate that direction from the council. But some of the staff we have sitting here did an incredible, remarkable job. And we use the word holding their hands. And I think they embrace them as they help them to make this transition. And I think many of them realize they're probably in a better place than they were from what we could do. And as much as I think we did as best we could to manage that facility for its age, really this was, at the end of the day, even putting finances aside, we really believe that many of these residents are in a much better situation than they were before. The fact that many of them have vouchers and they are in better facilities. But Mayor, I think that's just we don't really have an answer for that as far as whether we should demolish it now or do we wait. The experience right now has been it's stabilized, I think, as far as being able to board it up and keep it going. This is interesting having this conversation today, and there's some purpose of tying this with the previous conversation. We hope that momentum and that excitement, and hopefully in the next period of time, whatever that might be, as that development at the Athena site now catches on, maybe that'll create more interest in this property here. So it's a matter of, do we want to exercise the patience and wait for that? I think we're concerned a little bit about the market today, real estate market, about really what would we be attracting or what's the value of that property. So I guess my answer today is we haven't really concluded a best recommendation whether to demolish at this point or we've got it stabilized, they're boarded up, they're secure. Maybe as long as we can do that and feel comfortable, that may be the answer. If that becomes more problematic and it becomes a demand on other resources such as police or code or whatever, we may be coming back to you with a different recommendation.
Okay. I want to compliment you on the work to relocate the residents and get them into Section 8 or other housing programs. I know that that was a difficult task for somebody that's lived in a unit for a long period of time. But I do agree with the direction that the city's taking to not be into a one area type of housing program that used to be the trend years ago. And I think that to be dispersed throughout the community is a better program. And so that's why I supported it then. But I do know that on the ground to make this happen and to get everybody relocated was a huge task. And I want to thank you for the work you've done.
I'd like to recognize Tina Villa Gomez, who has really played a key role in getting this process accomplished. She's done an excellent job.
Okay. Thanks, Tina. Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Tina. We really appreciate it. It was
it was so emotional for people. This is where they lived, some for a long time. We had elderly residents, as you know better than anyone else, for whom this had been home for a long time, and it was, I know it was traumatic, but we needed to get out of the housing business. The city had done this project, I want to say it was in the 1940s. Is it that long ago that it was 1940s? And it was not, it was not a federally funded project per se, although over time I guess some federal funds had been used on it. But one of my concerns was that we didn't want to be, as a city council, in the slum landlord business. And all of you had done a good job with baling wire and duct tape and everything else to hold together these very, very old facilities. But one of the concerns I have, Mr. Brady, is I don't want to facilitate, and I guess I shouldn't be saying Mr. Brady, I should be saying to my fellow council members, I don't want to facilitate someone else's going into the slum landlord business by just saying, you know, whoever comes along can buy this from us and reopen it, and, you know, we'll take the high, you know, today's market, it might actually make sense for somebody financially to buy it and continue running it as a not a good project. And I don't want us to be in the position of facilitating that and then having to respond to police calls for service and all of the attendant expenses that would come over time if that happened. So I have some real concerns about making sure that we don't allow that to take place.
Okay. At some point, I think you're probably going to need a direction. Do you want to just, is the goal to leave them boarded up and see what takes place for the next year or two? I concur with the Vice Mayor. I think that you're going to have a lot of housing advocates. You're going to have a lot of homeless. I know the CAS Center over in Phoenix is looking for additional space. They'd love to move in some residents into the area. I think we already have the men's shelter. I think Mesa has done its share of providing low-income housing and those type of facilities. I'm not anxious to this to be a target for that type of development.
Mayor, let us do this. Let us go ahead and at least go get some estimates about what it would take to clear the site and bring that back. I mean, it's just, I don't have a problem with that. We were just trying to be careful with and how we use that. But there is some, I think the council raises some great issues that we've struggled with too, is what is in the long term the best interest. But we haven't done that step, so let's go to do that next step, and at least we can have a conversation based on that.
Okay. So. Any other discussion on that one? All right. Thank you very much. Item number 3 is here, reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Do you have any updates? Number 4, scheduling the meetings and general information.
Sorry, Mayor, I'm trying to have a voice here. Just a reminder, there will not be a study session next Thursday. We mentioned before the East Valley Partnership breakfast with the mayor. And our next council meeting will be January 22nd, which is a Tuesday, because as a result of the MLK holiday. So,
I think it's with the governor, though.
What's that?
Meetings with the governor.
What'd I say?
Mayor.
Oh. Well, the mayor will be there too, but if you want to see the governor, by the way, that's right.
Right. Sorry. Governor and mayor. Number 5, are there any requests this morning?
No requests,
okay.
Mayor.
Then the motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Study session's adjourned.